The Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 642. 642. Once more, dear God of grace, thy earthly courts we tread. We come to see thy face and banquet with our head. We long, we faint, we pant for thee, and hope that with us thou wilt be. Hymn 642.
The Holy Word of God, we'll read together the book of Job, chapter 33. Job, chapter 33. This is Elihu speaking to Job. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean, without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth no account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favourable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well O Job, hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. May God bless that reading from his holy word to us, and may he help us now in prayer. Most merciful and gracious and almighty and eternal Lord God in heaven, we gather in this place to worship thee. And Lord, we thank thee for gathering us together around thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, for granting to us this opportunity to meet together this Lord's Day morning. And we pray that as we gather here today, we may prove thy mercy and thy goodness in granting to us thy help. And Lord, we seek thy presence. Lord, thou hast said that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt fulfill that promise here this day, that we may know feelingly that thou art here. For Lord, is it not Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold the mercy seat? And oh, we pray, Lord, that as we come now in prayer, we may be drawn to that mercy seat, that mercy seat sprinkled with blood, that place where thou didst say, there will I meet thee, between the cherubims. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou glorify thyself, and Lord, that thou wilt get all the honour and the glory from our attempts of worship. Lord, thou knowest what need of help we have. Lord, we greatly feel the need of thy help, that thou wilt lift us above the dying things of this world, that thou wilt put us in a right frame of mind, that thy spirit may grant us that help we need, that we may know thy spirit in our worship, in our hearts, ordering all things, moving us in our desires and our affections, applying thy word with power, taking of the things of Jesus, revealing them unto us, and being that vital and essential difference, Lord, in our worship. Oh, we pray that there may be those things done this day in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Or there might be that divine purpose of our meeting together. Lord, we gather for worship. We gather in obedience. We gather, Lord, and we trust. We gather looking unto thee. But oh, we pray that thou wilt look upon us, that thou wilt lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, that thou wilt shine thy light and that liberty into our souls, that thou wilt bless our souls this day, and that thou wilt glorify thyself in our worship. that as our worship ascends through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, that as we ask for those things we feel to need in his name, oh, may we prove that he sits in heaven interceding for us, that he, his merits, his presence at the Father's right hand, obtaining all that we stand in need of this day and each day. Lord, we pray that thou remember each who gather. Lord, be with any who are unable to be here this day. And grant, Lord, that thy blessing might rest upon each, whether here or absent. Be with any who are able to join us through the stream services. Lord, do grant that it might be a day of the Son of Man, one in which thy name is honoured and glorified. Lord, as we gather, as we worship thee, Lord, thou knowest how we've come. Thou knowest all about each one here. Those, Lord, that are visiting, Lord, we do pray that they may feel at home here, and pray, Lord, that each need might be met. Lord, each heart is open before thee. Nothing is secret, nothing is hidden. Each care, each concern is known. Each fear, each joy, the Lord, thou knowest every need. And we pray that that thou grant us each a truly thankful heart. Though some may have come up, cast down, feeling overwhelmed with one thing or another, yet, Lord, we pray that there might be a spirit of thankfulness given, that we may see all in the light and the knowledge, and the understanding of what we are by nature. For Lord, we are sinners. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And Lord, if thou art pleased to reveal something of ourselves to ourselves, and we view all that we have in the light of what our sins deserve, then we must surely recognize and see that thou art merciful and gracious, that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And Lord, thou hast favoured us to be found on praying ground. Thou hast lengthened out our days. May it be for that purpose, a divine purpose of mercy and love toward our soul, be brought into a true concern while in time, while thou mayest be found, we may call upon thee while thou mayest be found. Oh Lord, we pray that thou bring us each, while on praying ground, to pour out our hearts before thee. Lord, thou art that refuge for sinners. Thou art a merciful and gracious Lord God in heaven, and in and through thy Son, sinners find acceptance. Oh Lord, may it be that we each know what it is to be accepted in the Beloved. Oh, we pray that make us acceptable, make us right, prepare us, Lord, we pray. Lord, do
grant us those blessings of the riches of thy grace. Oh, do, Lord, lead us to thyself in all our sin and need this day. And grant, Lord, that we may know something of thy gracious smile. Oh, we pray that we may find that refuge in Jesus Christ. Though we are of a sinful race, and Lord, we pray that that peace of God, which passeth all understanding, might keep us and bless us in our souls. Lord, remember the children. Do grant, Lord, that they may be helped in their worship. Lord, do open up their minds and their hearts to receive thy word. May the simplicity of thy gospel, Lord Jesus, enter into each young heart. Oh, Lord, we pray that that thou will draw them to thyself. Lord, thou didst say, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Oh, Lord, we pray they may not be hindered by circumstances or by people. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw them unto thee. And Lord, grant each, whether young or old, that precious gift of living faith. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou reveal the love of Christ, the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Lord, we pray that thy love and thy mercy might be granted to each, whether young or old, but none are too young, and none are too old, none are too far off. Lord, thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Oh, Lord, there is nothing too hard for thee, no heart too hard, no case too difficult. Lord, we pray that thou wilt work all to thy honour and glory and to the good of our never-dying souls. Lord, remember those that have particular burdens and cares. Maybe there are those, Lord, who are seeking thy face in the way of direction, desiring to know which path to walk, which door to take. Lord, we pray that those seeking thy instruction may hear that voice, Lord, even this day. It might be a word behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, that thou wilt guide them with thy counsel, and afterward receive them unto glory. Oh, we pray that we may prove what it is to be led and taught by thy Spirit, led by thy gracious hand, to know thy inward teaching, to know those promptings from within, oh, to know thy grace and thy mercy, thy Spirit, Lord Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt put thy fear in each of our hearts, that which is an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. So Lord, do help us in our worship. Help us as we walk out our lives day by day. Lord, we live in difficult times. There is trouble in the world at present. We live in a world full of sorrow and troubles and difficulties. And Lord, there are ones here with their various cases and concerns. Lord, each heart knows its own bitterness. Oh, we pray that burdened and exercised souls this day may find that refuge in Thee. Lord, do bring us each to cast our burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain Thee. Lord, do sustain us. Do hold us up. Do support those that are weak. May they prove the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Do grant that strength equal to each day. May they prove my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, do grant then that the weak may be strengthened. And Lord, those that are doubting and fearing may be confirmed. Those fearful ones, Lord, that thou wilt speak and encourage them in the way that they should go. And Lord, that thou wilt do all for thy honour and thy glory. Or may we prove what the Apostle Paul wrote, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Oh Lord, do we know it? Oh, to be among those that know these things, both in the letter of them as recorded in thy word, but in the experience of them, in the walking them out. Oh Lord, we pray then that thou remember us and bless us each. Do remember the older friends, Lord, those that have cares and concerns regarding their health, and those, Lord, that are carrying infirmities, body and mind. Lord, those that are coming toward the evening time of life, may be fearful of the Jordan that lies before, wanting to see the water parting, but not there yet. Oh Lord, we pray that true living faith might be given, or that they may cast all in thy hands. Oh Lord, bring them to truly lean upon thee and the word of thy grace. Grant, Lord, that all fear might be removed, all doubtings may cease, and they know that rest that remains for the people of God, both here in this time and in eternity to come. And so, Lord, do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, Lord, do forgive. Forgive the many failings. Forgive our many, many sins. Wash us, Lord Jesus, in thy precious blood. Take our sins away. Oh, do take them and put them behind thy back. Oh, do stand between us and that mountain of sin. Oh, Lord, may it be that we have our eyes viewing him. Oh, that we may get clear views of thee, Lord Jesus. That thou take us by the hand and lead us heavenward. Do forgive all that is amiss in our worship. Anything, Lord, that may be spoken amiss, forgive, we beseech thee. And Lord, may thy word, the word of thy grace, have that abiding, find that abiding place in our hearts, have that effect, Lord, we so desire, as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1074. When gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee, the fullness of thy promise prove, the seal of thy eternal love? Hymn 1074.
With me to the chapter we read, the book of Job, chapter 33. And with the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from verse 29. Job chapter 33 and verse 29. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. The book of Job, chapter 33, and verse 29. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. This is not the whole sentence. It continues into verse 30. To bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. This morning, by way of a text, lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. This is a constant source of wonder and amazement to me that God does this work. We are told in our text, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. That God should have that desire to work in this way with poor, fallen man. When you think of what took place in the Garden of Eden and the sin of our first parents in disobeying the command of God, and if you think then of all, and we don't know, we know barely any of it, but if you think of what we do know, of what has happened throughout the generations until now, friends, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? What is man? And how should he ever find favour in the sight of God, that Adam and Eve should ever find mercy in the sight of God, that sinners still in this day and generation are finding mercy with God, mercy in the sight of God? Friends, surely this is what we wonder and are amazed at. When we see, we don't have to look anywhere else other than ourselves personally, the sinfulness of our own hearts, how we have nothing good in and of ourselves by nature, and that God has not dealt with us after our sins, and he hasn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. And the hope this morning, for those of you maybe that feel still guilt and condemnation upon your soul, well, the hope this morning surely is this, that the Lord is lengthening out your days and he hasn't yet brought you. His hand has withheld that day of judgment. And the hope surely this morning is that the purpose of God toward you is that in due time he might bring you, while in time, to find his mercy. He might make known to you the riches of his grace. He might make known and discover to you his everlasting love toward you. And that you will find that he has dealt with your sins
in the putting on them, of them upon his own Son. And he's rewarded your iniquities in the punishing and the sorrow and the anguish that sin cost the dear Lord Jesus at Gethsemane and in the judgment hall and at Calvary. Oh, what a wonderful thing. If our sins have been dealt with, that all that fear, an overwhelming sense of anxiety through the felt conviction of sin in your soul is turned into an unspeakable joy when you find that there's nothing to be paid, nothing to be done, nothing to be paid. There is nothing left. Nothing left. All gone. Lo, all these things worketh God. It's the work of God, not the work of man. It's the work of God. Where we had, in our reading, well, we have all these things. And we will come to the immediate preceding verses, if the Lord will, in a moment. But friends, we can go back further in this chapter than just the preceding verses as we think of these things, all these things. We're told in verse 13, Elihu speaking to Job, Why dost thou strive against him? Is that what you're doing this morning? Is that what I'm doing this morning? Striving against him? Oh, maybe there's a few here this morning. You can look back. And you know what that is, to strive against him. The Lord has put his hand upon you. He's touched your life in some way. Maybe he's touched your circumstances. Maybe, you know, you can fit it in. I'm not here to give a great big list of the various things that the Lord might touch, but he's touched something. And what is it in you and me? Left to ourselves, we resist it. Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. It doesn't go according to what you thought. It wasn't in your plan. Not so, Lord. This is not how I had it mapped out. This is not the path that I am walking. This isn't according to what I thought when I was younger, when I traced out the life that was going to be for me and mine. Not so, Lord. The Lord has a precious, a powerful way to deal with his poor, unworthy people. And though they might strive, yet, friends, it's in vain. Though they may resist, it is futile. For you're striving against God. You have no power against his might. Even that great king, in the days of Daniel, what did he have to prove that God was in control? That King Nebuchadnezzar, who the Lord was able to humble, able to strip him of everything. He could not stand. He might have thought he was the greatest king on earth, and yet in a moment he's cut down. In a moment he's brought down. He cannot stand against it. And what's the effect? He says this: at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, this is Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honoured him that liveth forever. This is the outcome. What a change. What a turning about. I praised and honoured him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And this is it. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Friends, is there a few here this morning? And yet you say, what doest thou? What doest thou? Well, Nebuchadnezzar learnt, none can stay his hand. Are you resisting the mighty hand of God? The Lord is pushing you towards something. And what are you trying to do? You're trying to stop. Not so, Lord. I won't have it. None can stay his hand. Or say unto him, or say, what doest thou? God, all these things worketh God. And if God is at work, dear friends, then there's a purpose. And there is a intended end. And that work isn't without reason. That work will have an outcome. There is an end in sight, and it's the sight is in his sight, and there is a purpose. And the Lord's purposes, they will unfold, and his will be done. Oh, may the Lord then teach us something of what he taught Nebuchadnezzar, that our eyes might be opened, that our eyes might be up unto the God of heaven, that rather than seeking to resist, that he might give us something of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the child of God is to be Christ-like. The image of the Son of God seen in his children. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And they are to glorify God. And they are witnesses to his work. And that is the secret, isn't it? Oh, it is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, is that what the Lord's working in you? Oh, you say, I feel so un-Christ-like. When things come into my pathway, I don't respond in a Christ-like way. He humbled himself, and I don't find it within me. Oh, the pride. The arrogance. Oh, the self-righteousness. Oh, the rebellion and the sin. Well, friends, it isn't in there by nature. The Spirit of Christ must be put in you. If you are ever to honour the Lord truly and glorify him, it must be his Spirit entering in you. It is not there by nature. It is put there by God. This is God's work. And God is pleased to put his Spirit within the heart of fallen man. You know, that is a wonder of wonders, isn't it? That he, in his infinite mercy and love, would put in his Spirit, sending forth the Holy Spirit of God into the heart of a fallen man, woman, boy or girl. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it. Until the Lord opens their ear and gives them an ear to hear. Until he opens their heart by the sweet operations of his Spirit and gives them a heart to receive. Oh, have you heard his voice? Have you been led? Have you been moved? Have you been affected? Do you know what it is for the Lord to turn your will, to bend it to his? Do you know what it is for the Lord to move you from one position to another? You know, I've seen it in myself, and I've seen it in those who I know and love well. I won't do this. And the very thing that is a red line, it's ruled out, is the very thing that the Lord intends them to do and brings them to do and enables them to do. And do willingly. And do in love. Lo, all these things worketh God. No, it can only be God that does it. Oh, who can turn the heart of man? Oh, who can speak? Who can awaken the dead soul? Who can speak to the dead and raise them? Only God. Who can put life into a dead heart? Oh, who can turn darkness to light? Only God. It says, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it. David, Psalm 62. We find he says this in verse 11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, power and mercy. are found in God. Power and mercy. Oh, David was brought. David was taught. David was led. And he was led by the Good Shepherd. And he was taught and instructed in the way that he should go. And he proved the faithfulness of his God. He heard his voice. He was brought to submit to it. He humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. He acquiesced to the will of God in his best and right moments. And he knew what it was to have the favour of God resting upon him. He knew what it was to have the love of God shed abroad in his heart. God worked that precious work. And God is glorified. Power and mercy belong unto God. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. Oh, the mercy of God and the power of God displayed in the work of God. This work of God in the soul of man is a greater work than the work of creation. And that's a great and awesome work. But outshining creation's work is the work of grace. And God is glorified in the lives of his poor, unworthy people as they glorify the Saviour of sinners. And God is pleased. It is God-honouring when this work is accomplished. It glorifies God. God is magnified. God is magnified in the work of grace in the soul. He says this concerning God. He openeth the ears of man. Has he opened your ear? Has he opened your ear? Has he given you an ear to hear? All these things worketh God. He openeth the ear. You used to be able to hear without being affected. You used to be able to hear without it bringing distress. You used to be able to hear, sit through the services, sit through the reading and the preaching of the Word of God, unmoved, unaffected, untouched. Then the ears opened. When that ear is opened, you hear it, and you can't unhear it, can you? You cannot unhear. And the Lord opens your ear, and something is heard of you being a sinner. Under the divine power of God, you will not unhear it ever again. You will ever remember. He openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. He withdraws man from his purposes and hides pride from man. He keepeth back his soul. All these things worketh God. All these things worketh God. Friends, there is a people whom the Lord is opening the ear of, who are receiving instruction in the way, who are hearing to the profit of their souls, not to the comfort, to the profit of their souls. And it's often to the discomfort of their soul. But they hear. And they hearken. They take notice. The Lord applies the word. And it is for their instruction. It's for their real good. It's for their teaching. There is a withholding influence. The Lord's restraining power. Oh, they're determined to do something. But the Lord puts the brakes on and stops them and withholds from them things that are not right. Oh, friends, maybe he withholds other things. Things that would seem to be right for them. The blessings that they seek are withheld. It's not just that they might be withheld from doing evil. At times, they do evil. And what does the Lord do? He withholds the good. Withdraws his presence. Hides his face. That they might be taught. That they might be corrected. That they might be chastened. Verse 19. He is chastened. Oh, he keeps back from the pit. And blessed be his name. But he chastens. He chastens in time. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Is he working that oftentimes with you? You know, we think of that word oftentimes. Frequently. More than once. Again and again. Well, it's all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. And with mankind, the human race, oftentimes throughout time, the work of grace is seen, souls born again, quickened into life eternal, brought into through life and into glory at last. Oftentimes it's seen. And in that sense, it is true. And the work of grace, friends, the calling by grace, the bringing out of darkness into light, is a one event in the life of a person. It isn't oftentimes. It isn't a second and third and a fourth birth. It's a born again. It's first and second birth, natural birth first, spiritual birth second, that is it. It isn't again and again, a new birth, a new birth. It's a one event. But oftentimes, in the life of a child of God, errands to the throne of grace are made in confession of felt sense of sin again while in a body of sin. Oftentimes they need to be corrected. Oftentimes they need to be chastened. Oftentimes they must come and seek for mercy. Not as they did in the first time, but again out of necessity, that they might know the peace and the life and the liberty of the children of God. That they might be found in his favour, walking in his way, in the light of his countenance, not in the darkness, the cloud upon the path. Frequently, oftentimes, through necessity, as a living soul, desiring to be fed, desiring to know the Father's love, desiring to know fellowship with the Saviour, they find it of necessity to confess that the sins that have arisen and brought a cloud between them and their Saviour. And look, all these things worketh God oftentimes, because he cares, because he loves with that everlasting love, because he will not be put off from his work. He will not be set, it won't be set aside. He won't be turned back. It will not be stopped. But because he is merciful and because he is faithful. And so he chastens. So that his life abhor his bread and his soul dainty meat. And he finds that his flesh is consumed away. And you know, this is the painful part, isn't it? The crucifying of the flesh. Do you know what that is? This is the work of God. You can't crucify your own flesh. We talk of it. I've thought of it often. I wonder if I'm knowing something of it more. I know what it meant. I've known what it meant in the letter of it. But what about in the walking of it out? The crucifying of the flesh. Those things that are against our nature. Those things that wound our nature. You know that there is, isn't there, a need for self. Self to be abased. That if Christ is to be the all and in all for you and I, then self must be made low, brought low, laid low. And the flesh, our very nature, our natural inclinations, our natural wishes and wants maybe, have to be offered up on the altar and offered as a sacrifice unto God. The Lord Jesus, in the fullest sense of the word, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That is the crucifying of the flesh. And lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes. Oh, is there a few here this morning and you've known a little of what that is? You've had to fall before a living God and say, not my will, but thine be done. You can't understand it, maybe. You can't see maybe how needful it is at the time, how necessary for you it is. You can't maybe trace out any of the Lord's love in the thing. But in your mind, it is the Lord. And like Eli, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. You had to lay everything at his feet. You can't hold anything back. All the red lines are now gone. You had to fall into at his feet. Friend, you fall into his arms. And you have to leave everything there. And you know that there is. When all the resisting, when all the striving, when all the fighting against God is overcome. You know, friends, there is a place of peace there. The peace that you seek, friends, that is where it is. When you're brought to truly lie passive in his arms and know no will but his. We're told his soul draweth near unto the grave and his life to the destroyers. Then he is gracious unto him. Oh, he is gracious, friends. This is a God in whom we have to do. A gracious God. Then he is gracious unto him. He brings him to the very pit, as it were, maybe. Brings him to the very point of maybe feeling he cannot. It's inconceivable that I could be a child of God. Such is the load of sin that I have, the overwhelming sense of my unworthiness and guilt and shame. The very brink. Then he is gracious. Then he turns back. Then he's brought to look up. Then the light of the gospel shines in. Then the Lord speaks a commanding word. And then he commands deliverances for Jacob, even life forevermore. Deliver him, goes forth the command. Deliver him from going down to the pit. Bring forth the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Bring him to the cross. Bring him to the empty tomb. Bring him to Bethany. Enable him to look up and see an ascending Saviour. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. One to pay the price. One who meets all the demands. One who is able to deliver. A ransom's been found. A payment has been found. Payment has been made. And his flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God. Oh, friends, is that what the Lord is doing? Oftentimes, is he bringing you in frequent errands to the throne of grace? Causing you to pray, to call upon him. He shall pray. He shall call upon me, and I will deliver him. Psalm 91. Oh, now that takes me back, friends, to Mr. Robert Field visiting your chapel in March 2021. He shall call upon me. Verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. He looketh upon men through his Son. And if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see light. Friends, this is a gospel promise in the book of Job. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes. And so it is. Oh, that precious work in the making known of the everlasting love of God toward a soul, in bringing them out of darkness into the marvellous light and liberty of the gospel. Don't be discouraged this morning, friends. Oh, you say, with such a sinful day, 2023, surely the great days of blessing are over. Surely there's nothing left for such a sinful generation as ours. All these things worketh God oftentimes, and will do, till time shall be no more. And friends, what a mercy that you and I are in a gospel day, that we have made known to us through the pages of Scripture the name of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that the access that you and I have in and through Jesus Christ, oh, what a blessing it is to live in a day of the grace of God in the gospel day. Oh, may the Lord make known his purposes to us each. Oh, may the purpose of love and mercy be brought into each of our hearts. May it be the designed intention of all these things that you don't understand this morning, and all these maybe hard things, confusing things, troubling things, wearying things, are intended for this purpose, to bring back his, this is verse 30, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. All things work together for good. That's the real good, isn't it? There's all these things, all the works of God in the detailed dealings in the lives of his poor unworthy people, they have that ending intended, that intended end. There's a designed end to these things, that his soul will be brought back, recovered from its lost, fallen state through sin, brought back through the Red Sea of the precious blood of Jesus, and brought into the light of the living, in the land of the living. Oh, that work, that precious work. Oh, is that your desire? Lord, work in me and for me to will and to do of thy good pleasure. Work this precious, these precious things in me, and then the honour and the glory will all be given unto thee. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. Amen.
Sunday school will be in the vestry this afternoon with an address by Mr. Parrish. Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach at 7 o'clock in the chapel vestry on Friday evening. And on Saturday afternoon there will be a prayer meeting for the nation to be held here in the primary school hall. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Bernard Burgess is engaged to preach. Let us now close with hymn 598. 598. Peculiar are the saints, and God does them esteem. Though numerous are their wants, they all things have in him. He is their treasure and their joy, nor can they ever starve or die. Hymn 598.
June 528.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.